is so awesome. He is so awesome. Hallelujah. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning is we have an awesome. Could you hold on one second? Well, we have an awesome pleasure this morning of our First Lady ministering the word this morning. Amen. The mother of this house. Hallelujah. And First Lady, we just want to honor you today. We want to present you with some flowers. Hallelujah. Come on. Listen, this is First Lady. This is the mother of this house. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. And I have someone on the phone here. Amen. So I'm going to just go ahead and let him speak, our pastor.
Can y'all hear me? Yo! What's up, church family? Man, somebody better make some noise for Jesus up in that place. I wanted to surprise you. I know you didn't know I was going to be calling in. First and foremost, church, I cannot tell you how much you are missed. I am missing you like crazy. I am very soon to get back. Let me tell you, y'all going to see my smiling face real soon, so y'all better get ready. Hey, Jesus is blessing me. He's covering me. I'm strong. I'm getting stronger every single day. God's favor and your prayers have been felt in such a tremendous, tremendous manner. Thank you so much for just fervently praying for me and cards and well wishes. It has simply been miraculous how God has brought me through this testimony and this trial of my life. But to God be the glory.
Yes.
For all that he has done, my bride is about to bring a word from heaven. Are y'all ready today?
Yeah.
Honey, let the Lord use you in such a mighty way. Pastor Mike, just stand in proxy for me. You know, I would be putting my hands on my wife if I was there. And church family, if you could, just stretch your hands forth to my beautiful bride. Father, God in heaven and on earth, we just thank you for your might and your mercy. I pray that the heavens be completely open to the Spirit of the Lord to speak to and through my wife. Father God, may she deliver with power, with courage, with humility, with honor, and with love. May every spirit, every heart that is available in that place be open to receive what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. May somebody be resurrected, replenished, and favored of the Lord. May somebody know Jesus in a much more intimate way today. May somebody who doesn't even know God, may they come to the throne room today. Use my wife, Jesus, for your glory. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name, somebody yell amen.
Amen.
Honey, let God use you. I love you so much. Church, I can't wait to see y'all. It's on when I get back. Y'all already know. It's on. It's on. All right. Listen, I love y'all. Have an amazing rest of the service. I'll be watching. Love on somebody today, y'all. God bless you. Bye-bye. See y'all soon.
Amen, church family. It's a pleasure to be standing before you this morning. God is so good. God, you are good. All the time, you are good. All the time, Lord, you are good. Good in all your ways. Good in everything that you say. Many of you can say that he is good today. He's good. He's so good. He's good. Hallelujah, you're good. Hallelujah, you're good. Hallelujah, you're good. You're good in all your ways. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just come before you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to speak something over you today because what I want to release, I believe the Lord is saying to release today. I just want to, in Jesus' name, reinforce that I am the Son of God. I am saved by grace. I am born of the incorruptible seed. I am redeemed by the blood. I am forgiven of all my sins. I am a new creature in Christ. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am the beloved of God. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I am a part of the royal priesthood. I am a member of the chosen generation. I am the ambassador for Christ, the light of the world. I am the citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And I am a joint heir with Jesus. Do you believe that today? Holy Spirit, take over in this place. Let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah 55 and 11. I started with I am. If I had to title this message, I would title it, Who's Using Your Words? Who's using your words? So shall my word, Isaiah 55 and 11. So shall my word goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. Hallelujah. You can take your seat. If we're going to be the voice generation, if we're going to be the generation that prophesy, if we're going to be the generation who has the sword of the Lord in our mouth and wanting to know how to use the sword, if we're going to be the generation who speaks with the oracles of God, then what we speak, it matters to the Lord. What we speak makes a difference. Your words make a difference. Words are powerful. They're powerful. And what we speak and what comes forth from us is very important. Let me say that again to the Lord. Statistics says that on an average, a person knows between 20 and 30,000 words. But on a daily basis, we use between 5 and 7,000 words a day. Now, that's a lot of words that we're using. So let me ask you a question today. Are we using God's words? Are we using our words? Or are we using another? See, are we speaking positively? Are positive things coming from our mouth or negative things coming from our mouth? Are we building? Are we planting? Are we blessing? Are we encouraging? Are we speaking hope? The words that I speak, are they healing? We have to change our words. We have to stop being double-minded, even in our speech. One minute we're speaking positive, but then the next minute we're speaking something negative. And so the positive thing that we just spoke was canceled out by that negative thing. Who's using my words? We have to stop allowing the little foxes, if I can say that, the little foxes from coming into our garden, destroying our fruit. Turn your Bibles to Songs of Solomon 2:15. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James and then the Message. It says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vine have tender grapes. Now listen to what the Message translation says. Then you must protect me from the foxes on the prowl, foxes who would like nothing than to get into our flowering garden. Now I want you to picture a garden, your life. The flower garden depicts your life. The word says that Jesus is divine and that we are the branches. And so here we are connected to the vine, and our fruit is beginning to bloom, to become ripe, to mature, to grow. And here comes the little foxes. Now, naturally, a fox is a very destructive animal that comes into a garden, a vineyard, and will cause a lot of destruction, devastation. They come in trying to eat the fruit, and in the midst of eating the fruit, they can tear up the branches. They could tear the branches off the vine. We have to stay connected to the vine, which is Jesus. The foxes spiritually is sin. Stay with me. The wrong things that we say, the wrong things that we think and the wrong things that we do. But I want to focus on the things that we say. So the foxes will get into our garden, come into our lives to cause harm because of the words that we're using. See, we have to stop saying, I'll never get ahead. I can never do that. I'll never have enough. Because what it's doing, you're defeating your purpose. You're defeating. You're speaking defeat to your life. When Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly, he didn't come so that we can live a defeated life. He came so that we can live a victorious life. So who's using your words? Now in 1 John 3:8, I don't know if I gave them this, it says, it speaks of the very purpose that the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works. But the problem is that we are being defeated by our own words. There's a saying, don't be hung by your tongue. Stay with me. And the same thing, if we look at Genesis 2, you don't have to turn there. You can read that later when you go home throughout the week. But the same thing happened. You have Adam and Eve. They're in a garden, a beautiful garden. It's breathtaking. It's stunning. It's amazing. It's awesome. Everything that they need there. The Bible talks about how there's the four rivers that flows from the midst of it. They have gold. There's gold there. There's onyx stone. There's beautiful fragrance there in this garden. They have food, all the food that they need. They have all the water that they need. Life is good for them in the garden. And guess what? What happens? Here comes the devil that causes them to sin. And what sin does, it disconnects us from God. Now all of a sudden our communication with God is off. Now all of a sudden they're hiding from God because of sin. Turn to Hebrews 4:12. Who's using your words? It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's words is life. So when we speak words, his words, they bring life. They're living. So when we come forth with his word, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the situation is. His word brings life. It's living. It's powerful. Every time you speak love, when you speak joy, you speak peace, you're bringing life to a situation. Now let's look at Proverbs 4:20-24. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. God's word, pay attention. to his words. And then it says, incline your ears. So your ear, it's your ear gate. Now it's saying your eyes, don't let it depart from your eyes. Let me just say something. Speaking, words that we speak, sometimes they're nonverbal. Because even the things that we write, and now that we, in a text generation, we text. So those words that we're reading, that we're texting, they have power also. They have power. And it goes on to say, keep them in the midst of your heart. 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So God's word, attention, pay attention to his word. Because it's dealing with the ear gate. It's dealing with the eye gate. It brings life. It brings healing. And 23, keep your heart diligently. Now the words that we speak is dealing with our heart. It says, for out of it springs the issue of life. So the word of God, the words that have power, it deals with our ear gate. It deals with our eye gate. It deals with our heart. For out of our heart flows the issue of life. And then 24, it says to put away from you deceitful mouth. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. And put perverse lips far from you. Oh, it's quiet in here today. See, God, he's concerned about what we're speaking. He's concerned about it because he's trying to take us somewhere. But he cannot take us if our speech is off, if our speech is not in alignment with him, if we're not in unity with what he's speaking. So he's saying, get your speech right. Because, see, if we have a speech problem or word problem, it may be an indication that we have a heart problem. And so matters of the heart, sometimes the things that we speak are coming from the heart. So we have to let the Lord deal with our heart so that when we speak, we are speaking from his heart and not our heart. It comes from the heart, what we speak, a hardened heart. If the heart is hardened, I know Pastor Mike, you taught on that. And if the heart is full of unforgiveness and bitterness, when we speak, that's what's coming out. And so God is concerned about that, that get the heart right in order to speak right. Turn to Luke 6 and 45. It says, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speak. So in order for us to speak what thus saith the Lord, it comes from the heart. So the heart has to be healed. The heart has to be mended. I love what David said in Psalms 51, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Let there be truth in my inward parts. And help me and make me to know wisdom in my inward part. Because when I speak, I only want them to hear you. For they need to hear you, not me. They need to be healed by you. They need to be delivered by you. So fill my mouth with your words. Fill my mouth with your words, oh Lord. Hallelujah. I love David because sometimes our words exposes our heart. In Psalms 119 and 11, David goes on to say, your word, Lord, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, what are we saying? On a day-to-day basis, what are we saying at home? What are we saying to our children, on our jobs, everywhere we go, in the marketplace, here in the house of the Lord? What are we saying? What are we saying to each other? What are we saying about one another? Not only in public, but in secret, in private, privately. What are we saying? Because God hears everything. Listen to Ecclesiastes 10 and 20. The Amplified Version says, moreover, do not curse the king. Now, the Bible, God says that we are kings and priests in the earth. We are. Do not curse the king. Even in the bedroom is private, secretly. And in your sleeping rooms, do not curse the rich, for a bird of the air will carry the sound, and a winged creature will make the matter known. Secretly. If we're secretly speaking good things, it's a good thing. But if we're secretly speaking bad things, then it's not so good. Listen to the Message translation. Don't bad mouth your leaders, even under your breath, and don't abuse your betters, even in the privacy of your home. Loose talk has a way of getting picked up and spread around. Little birds drop the crumbs of your gossip far and wide. Now that's the Message. Who's using your words? Somebody using it. If God is not using what we say, then the adversary is using it. Listen to New King James Version. Do not curse the king, even in your thoughts. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom, for a bird of the air may carry your voice. And a bird in flight may tell the matter. Who's using your words? Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. See, we have power in our words, in our mouth. We were created in the image of God. We were created in his image. And when he spoke, I'll get to that in a minute, he created things. And if we were created in his image, we can create things when we speak, when we release words. Words don't just disappear. They're in the atmosphere. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to eat the fruit of life. I want to eat the fruit that's good. I want to eat the fruit that is filled with peace, joy, and happiness. That's the fruit I want to eat. So I have to discipline myself in the word of God to speak forth his word. I want everything around me to speak life. When I walk on the scene, I want it to say life, life. Everywhere I go, I want it to say life. There is something about you, life. I see life on you. I see something good on you. We were created in the image of God. Go to Genesis 1. In the beginning, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, I love that. Then God said, he spoke, let there be light, and there was light. Now, if you read from Genesis 1, verse 1, all this whole chapter to verse 31, there's about 8 or 9 verses that says, then God said. When God spoke, he created things. There's 3 things God's word did. Number 1, it created. We serve a creative God. He creates when he speaks. Number 2, he blessed. I didn't read all the way down to verse 28, but in verse 28 of that same chapter, he blessed. You can bless with your words. And 3, he gave instructions. Verse 29, he gave instructions to them on what to eat. So are we creating with our words? Are we blessing with our words? Who's using my words? See, my words are either working for me or they're working against me. So I have to discipline myself to speak things that'll work for me, not against me. See, we cannot have heavenly things speaking ungodly things. Foreign words, words that heaven don't even know. See, heaven only responds to God words. And so we have to discipline ourselves and figure out what to say. I was reminded on the way here today about words, blind Bartimaeus. I love, he didn't have a whole lot of words to say, but he said the right words at the right time, at the right moment. And his words, when Jesus was passing by, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He had the right words at the right time. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it caught Jesus' attention. See, we want to speak words that gets Jesus' attention, that gets heaven to respond to us. Because sometimes we're in a desperate place, in a desperate situation, and we need a suddenly in our lives. So we have to know what to speak, what to say, what to pull from heaven to cause heaven to respond, to take notice of what I'm saying, that I need you. I want heaven, Jesus, to use my words. You want heaven. In Psalms 103 and 20. See, we want heaven. It said, bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, obeying the voice of his word. Here are the angels that hearken to the voice of the Lord, the ministering angels that go, they listen, they do the word of the Lord, his pleasure to bring it to pass. So if heaven have angels, when we speak the word of God, and if the angels grab the word to go to bring it to pass, okay, well, there's an enemy that has demons that you are getting his attention by the negativity that you speak. And that is what's coming into your life, and you're wondering what's going on. It's check your speech. Check your speech. What am I saying? What am I saying? Who's carrying my words? Who is taking my words and bringing them to fruition? Because the enemy always want to imitate everything that God does. And in Ephesians 5 and 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. See, he gave us that to be. Imitators. We imitate what God says. See, it'll work when we do it, but it won't work when the enemy do it. He tries to imitate everything that God does. But God is saying that you and me, we are to imitate it. We are, imitate means to copy, to emulate, to resemble, to look like, to mimic. We are to mimic God's word. We are to mimic him. We are to look like him, to sound like him. We are to resemble him, to emulate, to copy him. It's for us. It works for us, not the enemy. He can try it, and he will try it. Matter of fact, he imitates more than we do. Who's using your words? Even coming into salvation and knowing the Lord, you have to speak forth words. In Romans 10, it says that. That you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You're confessing words. Even to come to Christ. Let me read that. Romans 10, 8 and 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. There we go again. That heart and mouth is connected. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's believing in your heart, and then speaking it out of your mouth. Let us go to James 3. I'm going to summarize this. But James 3, 1 through 12, it talks about the tongue. I remember someone telling me this story about this man who many, many years in ministry, I won't call his name, but God taught him how to discipline his tongue at times in meetings where he wanted to say something, but he had to hold his tongue. And what he would do, I don't know if you can see me up here, he would, and they used to wonder why he was doing that in meetings. He was biting his tongue so that he would not say the wrong thing. But here we have in James, the tongue, such a small little member of our body. But in James, it talks about how the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. And it talks about how it can set the forest ablaze. Does that's something. I mean, that is so mind-boggling how a tongue. Myron, do you have a picture? A fire. It can set a forest fire. Now, that's what God's word says. Using the wrong words. That's what the tongue can do. And we're all familiar with what went on out in California, the California fires. Just picture that. That's what a tongue can do. Now, that's what the word of God says. Now, his word is true. And forever, the Bible said, settled in heaven. And James, it goes on to talk about how the tongue can be a defilement to your life. If you're not speaking the right things, if you're not saying the right things, that it's an unruly evil. And listen to this, it's full of deadly poison. And that we will bless God with our mouth, but then we'll turn around and then we'll curse those that were created in his image. I was reminded, too, of the prophetess that came, Michelle McLean Waters, and she talked about how the tongue, she was talking about the forked tongue, how it's threefold, how the tongue, a person could be releasing, let's say, ungodly information to someone, so they are affected by what they're saying, because they're releasing the poison. And then the person that they're talking to are receiving it. You're receiving the poison that they're spewing out. And then the person that they're talking about, it's harming them as well. So it's a threefold. Let me give you signs of a sick tongue. If you're negative all the time, if almost every word that you speak out of your mouth is negative, then there's a chance that you have a sick tongue. I know this is hard, but God wants us to get our speech right because he got a place for us to go. And if we're going to prophesy, we need our speech right. See, negativity all the time. We say the sky is blue, you say it's gray. And number two, lies. You're lying all the time. Now, guess who's using your words if you lie all the time? Because the Bible says that the enemy is the father of lies. So if we're lying all the time, look at Proverbs 6 and 16 through 18. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, and there we have it, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. 18, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. And number three, signs of a sick tongue. You speak division. You speak discord. You speak division. You speak division in your family. You speak division in friendships. You speak division on your job. You're sowing discords. You speak division in church. It's a chance that your tongue is sick. Help me, Jesus. Number four, you complain about everything. You complain, you murmur about the smallest little things that don't even matter. But you're in this place where you've been doing it for so long that you don't even know how to stop it. And you complain, you complain. Now, Philippians 2 and 14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing. It's the opposite of being thankful. You're complaining about everything and not giving thanks unto God for what you do have and where you are and what he has done. But you complain. And, hey, I'll tell on myself because I've been there before. There was a time and a season a few years ago that I, at home, it seems like I was complaining about everything, complaining about the kids weren't doing this, they weren't doing this, complaining that my husband wasn't doing this, he wasn't doing this. And I was complaining so, and you know what, it's almost like, hey, The little birdie, you got to watch out what we're saying, the little birdie. And it's almost as if I was complaining so much, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit just sucker punched me. And I stopped and I said, Lord, what is going on with me? Sometimes you have to stop and don't let it fester. Don't let it linger on. You got to ask God, God, what is wrong with me? This is not me. Because what complaining and murmuring does, it affects your attitude. Not only does it affect your attitude, it affects the people around you. No one wants to be around you when you're complaining all the time. They'll go the other direction. You'll cause things to flee from you because you're complaining. And sometimes it'll set the stage for unbelief. Because if you look at the children of Israel coming out of bondage, they were in bondage for 400 years. And then God rescued them from bondage to take them to a place of promise. When they came out of bondage, they were healthy. They came out rich. But on their way to the promised land, somehow they forgot that he freed them from captivity. Anytime God frees you from something and he says, I'm taking you somewhere, you have to know and have it made up in your mind and your heart that he will sustain you. He will provide for you everything you need along the way. But they forgot, and they started complaining and murmuring about food, about water. They started complaining against their leader, Moses. And even some of the leaders were moaning, complaining, and murmuring about Moses because they weren't in agreement with who he married. So what happened? It set the stage for unbelief because now they're at the brink of going into Canaan, the promised land, but they couldn't go in. Moses sent 12 spies into the land to spy it out. And what happened? 10 came back with an evil report. They spoke an evil report, and it affected some of the people in the camp. Unbelief. So now they couldn't enter until that generation was gone. And only two entered, the Caleb and the Joshua generation. They came back with a good report. Whose report are we gonna believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. They went through to Canaan land because of what they spoke. They gave a good report. What are you speaking? Are you giving a good report or are you giving an evil report? God is trying to take us to our Canaan land, to a place flowing with milk and honey. But if we don't speak right, if we don't talk right, if we don't have the word of God in our lips and on our mouth, we can't enter in at what he planned for us. Who's using your words? Is God using your words? Is the enemy using your words? Because what you're using, it comes back to you. If you're blessing, then that's what's going to come back to you. The law of reaping and sowing. And there's so many other signs of a sick tongue. If you're gossiping, if you're a tail bearer, if you are a revealer of secrets, no one can confidentially tell you anything, then it's signs of a sick tongue. You may say it's impossible. It can't be done. And if you are saying that, then you are speaking defeat. Jesus came that we may be victorious. And the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. Turn to Matthew 12 and 37. I hope we're getting something today that we're going to let God change our words, change the way we speak. For by your words you will be justified, Matthew 12 and 37, and by your words you will be condemned. Words are important to God. You may think, oh, that doesn't matter. If I say that, it matters to God. It matters so much. It says it in this scripture. It's so important to him that he will take the time out to record every single thing. Because if we're going to be a voice in the fallen world, to this fallen world, if we're going to be that voice, then we have to change what we're saying and how are we saying it. And if it's lining up with God and his word, we must find a way to discipline our words, our tongue, what we're saying. And here are some ways that I believe the Lord gave me that we can do that. Number one, we can follow the example of Jesus. Jesus was a master at words. Study Jesus. Study how what he spoke. Study the words that he used. Number two, know the word of God. We have to know the word of God even to know what to say in different situations. Know the word of God. Study the word of God. Study to show yourselves approved. Rightly dividing the word of God. You don't have to be ashamed of knowing the word of God. Number three, ask the Holy Spirit to help us to find ways to use words to glorify Christ. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was sent to the earth as a helper. We have to ask for his help. He will help us. That is what he is here for. He is in the earth to help us. The Father and the Son is in heaven, but God, Holy Spirit, is in the earth to help the sons of God. And number four, to discipline our tongue, the words that we speak. We need to pray and we need to fast because sometimes it's a this kind that it's been there. You've been saying it for so long. You heard it for so long. Mother said it. Daddy said it. And you heard words. You heard words of hurt. You're carrying hurt. So you speak words of hurt. Hurt people hurt people. You're broken. You may be shamed. So you're speaking out of a place of shame. And so we have to fast and pray, because this kind will not come out unless you pray and fast for it to be broken off of you, for us to get our words right. And then number five, and I'm sure there's a lot more other words of ways, I'm sorry. But number five, listen more and speak less. James 1 and 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Has this been good? I hope this has helped someone. Hallelujah. Because you can attract. What are we attracting with our voice? See, you want to attract the blessings of the Lord. You want to attract the good things of the Lord. You want to attract life and well-being, wholeness in our lives. Come on and stand to your feet. We want God to use our words. And he wants to use them. But they have to line up and get in sync and alignment. Get in unity with him. So that when you speak, he will make it happen. Because he hears the cry. He hears the voice of his children. And we're speaking his language. So once again, I am free from condemnation. I am reconciled to God. I am justified by faith. I am qualified to share in Jesus' inheritance. I am a fellow citizen with the saints and the household of God. I am a significant contributing member of the body of Christ. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am the salt of the earth. I am the bride of Christ. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I am a saint. I am the elect of God. I am established by grace. I draw near to God by the blood of Christ. I am victorious through Christ. Give him a praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. We want to mimic you, oh God. If you haven't been saying the right things, and you, after hearing this word, and you believe that it may have affected some things around you in your life, come to the altar. See, we've all said things, and I'll be the first one to put my hand up, because see, this word hits me first. See, because all we have to do is repent and get back on course and ask God to show us. Help me to get my speech right. Help me to get my heart right. Because some things that we say comes from the heart. We're going to wait a minute. Because sometimes words that we speak, you can't get them back after they're released. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray today regarding words. Things that we have spoken that weren't nice, was ungodly. If you have any other needs, come to the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to wait a minute. Just come on to the altar. Because sometimes we've been around negativity, and then we come into Christ. And God has to teach us. Sometimes it doesn't just fall off all of a sudden. Sometimes we have to be taught. We have to hear the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands at the altar, those. Father, I pray for your sons and I pray for your daughters at this altar. And Father, we repent. We repent for any words that we have released that was not like you. They were not kind. They were ungodly, oh God. And Father, we repent. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would just touch our minds, touch our hearts, touch our lips. We ask that you would guard the doors of our lips. And from this day, oh God, that we will begin to speak what thus saith the Lord. We will speak things that please you, things that you delight in, things that we hear from heaven. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, every word that we've spoken that was unkind, Father, we pray a reversal of those words. We pray that those words will not take root in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that the words that we speak, God, will come forth now. They will be your words, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we mimic you this day. We emulate you today. We look like you today, Lord, in our speech, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for our mouths and everything that we say. In the name of Jesus, we want to prophesy the good things. We want to prophesy the good things. We speak life. We speak life. We speak life. We speak life to the atmosphere. We speak life to our families. We speak life to our children. We speak life to our jobs, our bosses, our employers. We speak life. We speak life to the body of Christ. Let everything that we speak bring life in the name of Jesus. We speak life. We speak life. Life is springing up all around me. Life is springing up all around me because I release the words of the Lord. I release the God word. speak the words of the Lord. Altar workers, altar workers, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give God another hand. Has this been good? I hope this blessed some and that we could get a hold, a grab of this in our lives, because God has so much that he wants to give to us, beloveds. So much that he wants to give us. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give the blessing. Hallelujah. Not praying for you, as Pastor would say, but the blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you coming and I bless you going. I bless everything that you put your hands to that is God's purpose for your life. I bless the words of the Lord that comes from your mouth. May those words be life. May they be deliverance, restoration, and healing. May they bring success. May you copy Jesus. May you be imitators of Christ. May you love. May you walk in peace. And like Pastor said, you only have one life to live. So what do? You give it away.